You are listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is 393, the radio program of Studio 393 in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We are based in the skywalk of Portage Place between the bay and the mall. We are open Monday to Friday, 4 to 8 p.m., offering programs in dance, music making, recording, as well as art. On this week's episode, we have interviews focusing on Wall to Wall that just passed in the city of Winnipeg. If you could see some of the murals that have been put up in the North End off Main Street, as well as at the Forks and West Broadway, it's been great. Some real fresh canvas, Jordan Stranger, some Annie Beach, some D-Bar-C, as well as Kenneth Lavely. Just to name a few, with Nestle and Birdo as well. It's been very eventful, but we had some musical acts as well. It was the conclusion of the Wall to Wall festival, cultural, music, all that things. Killa came by to their DJ production duo, performance duo, based out of Las Vegas and Winnipeg, Manitoba. They came by Studio 393 to educate a bit of the youth and run a workshop, and we had a few words with them. This is the words that followed.
So how to break down when you're listening to rhythm patterns. If you do 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and, but you write underneath it kick, K for kick, S for snare, or H for hi-hat.
Right.
Then when you listen to your favorite songs, you can decode them 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and understand the structure.
Right.
So when you try to recreate the beats, you understand the house, how it was built already.
Right. There's, if you want to do that, like, I have rhythm booklets that just, because I start breaking down into the 1E and up.
Yeah, and whatever platform you have, like, to use, but it's writing things out, you remember 60% more than typing it on a computer. It's a scientific fact. When I have, like, we have a show, we have lyrics to learn, just writing it out, not listening to it over and over again.
The physical, actual effort of doing it, yeah.
Yes, because it's an imprint in your brain. Even when I forget something, because I've written it out, it's like a foot, if I close my eyes, I can see it on the paper, like, I can see numbers and stuff like that just because you've written it out.
When I close my eyes, I can see what I wrote down on a sheet.
Oh, really? Yeah, there you go. See, you're a little genius. You guys got such talented people here, y'all. Crazy.
Yo, I just had like probably 2 or 3 questions.
Yep.
Okay. How did this come about?
Akilla.
let's just do that.
Okay, so we have a mutual friend named Andrew Yankuski.
Yeah, he runs the production studio.
Precursor?
Yeah.
Another connection.
So I had been going to Andrew for production lessons, and I had heard about this woman who's like this badass producer from Vegas. And I had already heard about her, but I didn't know that she like was coming to Winnipeg or anything like that. All of a sudden, I was finishing one of my lessons, and in comes Sherry with her friend to mix down a track. And I was like, oh, that's Sherry St. Germain. Andrew had been talking about her. And so we just like...
When we met, we were like, huh.
We're like, hey.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
She's like, you want to jam?
Yeah. Well, she's like, wait, you're a DJ? She's like, can you give me DJ lessons? I was like, yeah, can you train me for production lessons? So we're like, okay, let's get together and jam. And then some time went by, we finally got together and jammed, had so much fun. Got together a second time and jammed, had so much fun. Then the third time we hung out, we picked up my daughter from school.
She looked at, like, swear to God, hand to God, she looked up at us, she goes, so when are you going to start the band? She'd never met me in my life. And we go, what? Yeah. What do you mean? And she goes, I don't know, she's very psychic. She says things that you're like, how do you know this? Like, she's not from this earth.
Yeah, and so that was actually kind of the catalyst, like that day.
We were like, well, should we start a band?
Yeah,
like,
well,
the 6-year-old said, so.
Yeah, so we did discuss it more, further than just like my daughter, but
she was the instigator.
And they were like, yeah, this actually makes sense. Let's jam out some more and start a group. So start a group, came up with a name. Didn't really know exactly how we were gonna make it work, but we just knew that we both.
Yeah, because I lived in Vegas. I only came home to visit.
Okay.
So I still live in Vegas.
But and you were visiting. For
I was
like
visiting.
A good year.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I was visiting
you were back
for, long,
for like a year just
for my
like,
visa. Purposes.
Yeah, yeah. So she was back for like a year, and yeah. So we spent that whole year. I would drive to her place every night when I didn't have the kids, and we would
after work.
We would work in the studio until like 6 or 7 in the morning.
And she'd go get her kids, take them to school, and she'd go to work. And then she her work ethic was like the thing that I was like, this girl. This is the girl. Because I was like, you have 2 kids, you're a single mother, and you're waitressing, and after your 8-hour shift on your feet, you're like, all right, let's make some music. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm people don't have that kind of
drive
spark
or,
in yeah, the, yeah, yes, yeah, yeah, and it, yeah. It made me have drive even more, because I was like, oh, this girl's okay, there's something special here. So then we would just work every night for like...
And just we just spark off each other. Like, we'd just be like, and it'd be so much fun. We would literally be on the floor, like, curled over laughing just because we just kept, like, it'd be like, serious, and then it's like,
hilarious.
And we'd write a country
song. We'd write a country song every session just for fun.
And then we started playing, we figured out how to play our first shows together, like, how we wanted to do that. We played on Halloween, like, 3 years ago in Saskatchewan. We did Regina and Saskatoon. Those were our first 2 shows. And like I personally had never had so much fun on stage in my
life. Yeah, it was just I had keyboard rigs, but then
it was a smaller rig.
Yeah, but then over time, and then we got sponsored by Roland, and then Roland sent me a kit overnight, like literally overnight, like outside the door of Las Vegas. Anyone could take it, you know. The UPS just leaves it outside. It was a $10,000 kit sitting. And I was like, bringing it in. No one stole anything. And then so now we have drums.
Yeah, we revamped our whole set.
Drums and live keys and live vocals. We both sing live, and she DJs, and I play keys and we drum and do a lot of hair whip.
Also, in between those 3 years, we managed to have, now today it'd be basically our 4th hit, like with other...
Right, yeah, and so we would work with
collabs too.
All of, she knows everyone in the industry, and which is perfect.
We just were talking about,
No, she does. She does, because I would be the one, I'm the one at home with the computer, the antisocial one, and she's the one that goes, bap, 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 and comes back and goes, all right, here's what we're doing. And I'm like, all right, here we go. You know? And so it's such a nice, remember I was talking about dynamic before? I was telling them, like, you want someone that has strengths where you don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
Other words, because her and I balance each other so much. We don't even have to talk about who's taking care of what. We just know that person's going to, based on our expertise and things. It's like really, really, really nice. And then all of a sudden we just like in the last I think year we would come back and forth. It got really difficult at some point because we live in 2 different countries and she's 2 kids, and so we were like, we went through a period of like, is this gonna work, is this, you know, we got like really like, I don't understand. Then all of a sudden out of the blue it was like, boom, you're playing this festival, boom, you're playing this, and we were like, oh,
totally,
okay, well, this is, I guess it's working. And then
well, the next thing you know too, like Sherry's sitting in studios with like some of the biggest EDM artists, like writing with them. She's a badass producer, like such a sick, she works for Ableton, she teaches master classes, you know. So the whole like everything coming together, it's like she's teaching these, you know, people, they're teaching her, like everyone's like,
it's a beautiful
like,
thing
other,
yeah, because
yeah.
The reason why we love the industry so much is because in the electronic world you can constantly collab and create and there's
share tricks
yeah, and in traditional type studio, if you're making a record with someone, you're not, everyone's hiding their secrets, everyone, no one really wants to give a lot of information, you know what I mean, like they but in the EDM world for some reason everyone supports you, they play your tracks, they remix it, they go, here, you guys want to collab on this, check out these sounds I got, ooh, you guys like this preset, you guys got to try this VST, and it's like very unity vibes, and we love it. And then every time I play a show it's like, well, what do you want to play? Like, it's like, it's so free, rather than going, okay, we have to play these 20 songs in a row every night because this is what people expect to hear. You get pigeonholed. You know, if I were in a band and I was playing my hit songs, I'd have to do those hit songs for the rest of my life. Nobody's going to want to hear anything new. And that's happened to my, you know, to people that I know, you know, where it's not fun for them anymore. It got to be not fun for us, and then we had to switch it up.
Like why Radiohead stopped playing Creep, because they're like, I'm sick of this freaking
song.
Yeah,
I'm sick of this freaking song, yeah. Exactly. But with that world, it's like now we have all these tools and these toys to use. We can't, no, there's no rules anymore. It's the wild, wild west. You can do whatever you want to do. You can make a video, make it go viral, become a superstar overnight. Maybe the girl that ain't nobody got time for that, she's like a millionaire for saying one phrase after a fire. Like, it's a beautiful time to be alive. The power is back to the people. It's no longer run by the 1% and the music labels and all that stuff. It doesn't exist anymore.
So,
yeah, it's a beautiful time to create now, because your chances of going are everything. Before, you had to know somebody, right? You had to know someone to get into a label to know, you know what I mean? Now it's like, if your stuff is dope, people are going to hear it.
Right.
Well, and you can make stuff that is cool to you. Like, we were just talking about this on the drive here.
Yeah.
Like, that you don't have to feel like you have to conform to what the labels want or think that. You make what you think is cool and what you're going to like to play over and over, and you're going to want other people to play and be like, oh, that's so dope.
Yeah.
Like, something you can be really proud of. You don't have to, like,
don't
work
try
who you are.
To make a pop song to make a pop song. Unless you really love pop. You know? Like, I fell into that for like 15 years. I was working for EMI.
Okay.
I was traveling around suitcase to suitcase, studio to studio for 7 years, out of a suitcase, in hotel rooms, meeting people. Hi, I'm Sherry. We have 3 hours. We're going to write a song for so-and-so.
Are you, like, producer, songwriter, basically, as well? So
yeah.
Is your background just, it's not just EDM. It's like,
oh, no.
It's...
No, it's very much going...
TV and film.
Yo, I've done TV, produced for TV and film for the last 11 years.
Okay.
That's my day job, but which is beautiful because I always get, like, we have a movie, you have 24 hours, and they want it to be a crossbreed between this track and this track. And
right.
Then you're like, okay. So then you decipher what's going on in the songs, and you decode it, reverse engineer. Why do they want this? Okay, well, it's in a minor pentatonic, it's high energy. I see what they're doing here, and you start decoding, and like, why do these things work? So a really cool thing that we found out while decoding these songs was three hit songs in 1 year. What was it? It was right, like a diamond.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a 1 major 3 4 5. Shine bright like a diamond. 1 5. Right? That's a pop smash. Why do people love singing? Here's another one. Who's gonna save the world tonight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's another 1 to a 5. Another hit song.
Deconstruct it.
Why do people? Well, the interesting thing about a 1 and a 5 is in one note on the piano, the natural harmonics that exist in it are a 1 and a 5. So it's no surprise that people like hearing a 1 to a 5,
right?
Because it's a natural thing that exists. Remember, in nature, you can't force a rose to bloom. You have to kind of think about things in balance with nature. And what's the other one? We'll run where lights can chase us high, where love can break us. I will never be alone. 1 5. Another one. It was a clarity from Zed, remember?
Yeah.
These songs are, because there's certain codes in this musical mathematical matrix that affect the masses. It's like, why did rock and roll become so huge? Why does blues, why do people love blues? 1, 4, 5 changes. You know, why do they love trap music with the same beat? Boom, it makes everyone do this. Why? Because there's like programs that are in us that make us like, you ever seen a baby? Baby, before they can talk, before they can walk, what do? When they hear music, they move, right? It's in us. So if you can tap into that, it's like really becoming like a CIA agent of music. Like, I really want to know why people do this. Then all of a sudden you can create it so freely and have so much fun. Yeah.
You both are like completely independent at this moment, or?
What do you mean?
Would you say? Like, in terms of, you were saying earlier just about, you have the freedom to create whatever you want to create.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
right?
Label-wise?
So like,
like we have tracks on like six different labels. Yeah,
yeah.
There's not like one label that we can only do that we have certain, like we owe them tracks
and
or anything
and
like that.
And also a suggestion for you guys is don't sign to one label, ever. Since you don't ever have to do that.
Yeah, don't sign your life away.
Yeah, don't sign your life away because they have the option to shelf you. Sometimes what labels will do is they will, I want you, we're going to sign you. And because you're competition for their other artists, what they'll do is they'll just shelf you. They'll promise you the world. And this happened so many times to my friends. Man, they're like, well, they have us in a 6-label deal. They're not releasing anything. And all your songs are just labels. You collab with as many people as possible. Make tracks with your friends. Put a times on it. This person times this person did this. And release it on whatever label feels right with your gut instinct. But don't think that you have to go that old, died out system that does not exist anymore. It doesn't exist. Because it wasn't working.
Yes.
Right? It was like, it was crappy music for a long time. And now it's like we just have all the power again, and it's amazing. It's beautiful.
It's weird that, anyways, this interview is not about me. So.
Yeah. No. I want to know what you want to say.
No, I just find that when I found music was getting very repetitive on the pop
right
platform and also radio.
Because the labels.
It was at that point that this democracy, that's what Andrew talks about, this democracy of music started to happen.
Right.
In terms of now the there's
underground.
Easier access now to create music.
Yeah.
But also to be able to put it out.
Right.
And people just caught on to that. Like, it caught on wildfire, not just because people wanted songs for free.
Right.
But they were just tired of being spoon-fed.
Oh, I know. It actually makes me... Like, you ever hear a song on the radio, it makes you so angry. You're like, turn it off!
Yeah. But like, not in a good way.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, how
it's
can...
It's like, not the injustice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh,
I
why
I can't
are
stand Nickelback!
This?
Turn it off! I'm just joking. They're friends of mine, actually.
Oh, that song, you know, that song, like...
I can still say it, like, if they're aware. Or he's aware. Yeah.
Thunder and a light, or thunder, whatever that song is, the thunder song.
Imagine Dragons, is that it?
Imagine Dragons is dope. That song, though, because
it's throwaway lyrics.
Yeah.
It's not, there wasn't, again, with lyrics, too, it's like, if you've heard it before, then just twist it up a little bit, you know? Don't, like, the I was lost, but now I'm found.
Can't use that anymore.
Oh, you can't use it. It's sacrilegious to use it in the music. you cannot use things that have been, you know what I mean? I was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just you have to be creative. Even if you can make your own words, just do something that's different. Because it's always like, hey, let's do something that sounds like this guy. And this guy's got a sound. So you can pull from these people, but you want to eventually develop your own sound. Mm-hmm. So like take 4 of your favorite artists and then take all those sounds and blend them together, and then you'll create your own sound.
That's the synthesis.
Yeah. Synergy.
Yeah, you just take...
Everything's a remix anyways. Everyone's pulling from... Nothing's really original these days. You're remixing something from someone, you know, which is a beautiful thing. It's like it's always for us when we create, it's always like, ooh, you hear a song that you love and you're like, let's do something like that. Mm. And you get in the studio and you try to make it and it comes out completely different. It doesn't even sound like that song.
But you just got inspired.
You just got inspired.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
So even if you start off like making it sound like that, eventually it will shift. Mm. It'll do its own thing.
What would be the pieces in place to try and get you those bigger gigs, basically?
Well,
she's the one that
deals
with the life situation.
Yeah. For example, the show that we just played, Lost Lands, that's a huge festival in just outside of Columbus, Ohio. And that festival was thrown by Excision, who we have 2 huge tracks with. And so just building those relationships with those people, there's talk of other tours that we potentially could be doing that I'm not really allowed to talk about. But those are also built off of relationships of people, you know, interested in what we're doing and coming out and checking out what we're doing. And, you know, some of these potential tours that are coming up are people who came to see us play at Lost Lands. Yeah. Like, it's just a snowball
effect.
Constantly
keeping in contact with them, too. Like, don't miss, you know, a networking opportunity. If you see someone, you're like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to see. Remember the time, this is why you're so, I remember Dylan, you guys know who Dylan Francisson is? He's a huge DJ. Remember I ran right into him one day, and I was like, now it's my chance. And I was like, meh, and I was too scared. I was like, if Sarah was there, she would have been like, oh, let me get your number. She would, like, she's so good for that. And I have all these missed opportunities, but she's like, she sees them, she scans, she's like a pre, she's like, ah.
But it's not ingenuine though, because
it's super genuine,
you're
super
warm soul.
Yeah, like, yes. I like to get to know people, yeah. And I don't put people on pedestals either. Like, I'm not like, oh, you're a famous DJ, oh my God. I'm like, oh, you're cool, like, what you're making, what you're doing is cool, I want to get to know you. And then, like, they see that it's you're not, like, making them feel uncomfortable, like, oh, hi, I really like your stuff, and you're really cool, it's like,
oh, I can't believe I'm talking to you
right now, like that's
no fanboy
fine and all, and we need fans, and that's great, and, like, we love any fans that want to talk to us like that, we freaking love. But that's not when you're, like, trying to work with other artists and, like, collab and get on the level of creation and how, you know, that kind of thing, you get to their level and you network without it feeling like you're trying, because that's not even what...
And don't blow them up or anything like that. Like, don't. And be nice. If some... Don't... This industry... People talk. about you all the time. If you are rude, even if you have a bad day sometimes, just say to them, you know what, I'm having a bad day today, I'm sorry. Because people will take that, your whole image now will be talked about.
Oh yeah, we know DJs who are straight up like have the, that are known as being complete jerks. And
that's just through word of mouth.
Yeah, and that's
like,
just
through
word of mouth.
And then we meet them in person, we're like, oh, they kind of are.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to find out things for yourself. And like, was it a bad day? But just be nice. Because these are relationships that might take you on tour with you.
People love your music more when they know that you're like a chill person.
It's
like,
true.
That you have like the like appreciation, like that they appreciate, you know, the people they're meeting and their fans. Like, your music sounds better. Like, if you have somebody that you idolize,
and you meet them and they're dicks,
and they're
dicks, also like,
yeah,
don't like their music anymore.
Yeah, their music
sometimes
is like less
like a turn
good
off.
To you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey listeners, this is 101.5 UMFM.
But another part of that too, with like getting bookings and whatnot, is like finding the right agents and whatnot, which is like kind of a stage that we're at right now, where we're like figuring out like where we're gonna go with that road as well, because our industry is very driven by agent talent agencies who do bookings and whatnot.
Yeah, and don't take just any gig. Take gigs that will put you like, we won't play gigs that don't really go with others. Like, we're not gonna play at the Palomino. You know what I mean?
Even though it's changed locations.
Yes.
Since the last week.
Yes. Not, well, yeah. I haven't been here before. It doesn't exist anymore?
No, it's on.
It does.
It's on Main now.
Oh, okay, cool. But then, no, but that's great. But it's like a country bar, right? So we're not gonna play there. So like, pick your venues that are more go with your style, you know, or else you just end up making $75 a night, just taking any gig you know you can get, and then you start to lowball yourself,
devalue yourself.
You want to like, oh, I want that person for a gig, but like, oh, they'll take anything, just tell them $100, you know, like, if you're just too super duper eager, if you're like, you know what, I'm really busy, let me check my schedule, I'll get back to you, then you have a little bit of upper hand, you know, don't just give it all away.
We're doing like a whole school here.
It's okay. Your highest point so far is a tandem. Just describe that. One of you can answer that, because I got a follow-up question.
Yeah, Lost Lands.
So that's...
It was... We walked in, and we were like, oh, we're here. Like, we walked, people were like signing autographs. People were singing to us our songs on the plane. There's 50,000 fans singing back to us. This is just last week.
Like, when...
So we were like, oh!
Like this maybe is... when we had tens of thousands of fans moving their arms with us while we're singing.
Yeah,
the
at
track.
EDC. Well, at EDC, it went off. It was like 200,000 people at EDC, which was crazy.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was nuts. So we want to do, like, more of those festivals, because they're a lot of fun. And you show up, and the light show's already dialed in, you know?
When you have people interacting with your songs on that level, is it just that... Is the good feeling in you yourself is that the work that you put in is actually like starting a show, basically?
Starting a show. Not only that, but we also play in a healing frequency.
Okay.
So when you're doing these huge festivals and you're blasting people with frequencies, we don't play in 440. We play actually in 444 hertz.
Okay.
Or you can play in 432 hertz. Anything but 440. 440 is the worst. Don't play your music in 440. It does things that are bad to you. 444 hertz or 432 hertz are in line with nature again. It's the frequency of the sun, frequency of chlorophyll, frequency of a blade of grass. And so when you play these huge, that was kind of like what we went in. We were like, we're going to go into this festival. We're going to play these huge shows, but we're going
to
blast people with these healing frequencies.
They don't even know they're getting it.
And remember we played the last show here, and he goes, I felt like I was healed. Remember he came up to us after the set, we're like, holy crap, you don't even know. You just got blasted with that 444.
Yeah.
Jay-Z's album. Why is it called 444, you guys? He's playing in 444 hertz. That whole album's in 444 hertz. A Beatles played in it. Michael Jackson played in it. When you have duty, when you get given the coolest job, one of the coolest jobs to go and be a rock star, and like, you have a great responsibility. You don't just do it, take it, and, you know, be a dick. Do something good. Do something positive. Look at Akon. He took all of his money. He got people with in Africa, all food, water, like millions of dollars he spent. No one heard about that. You know, do good things. Play in a healing frequency. Do something to give back. Don't just go up there to be like, look how cool I am. Look how cool I am. You know what I mean? Like, go there to inspire people and change people's lives. Like,
yeah,
the songs.
We get messages on Instagram all the time that this song helped me through the hardest
time.
And, like, made me,
yeah,
you know, made me cry.
Changed
like
my
with,
life.
Like, tears of
I
joy,
almost, yeah,
you know?
This song saved my life. We get that all the time, and we're like, oh. Because we wrote that in a dark place, and your job as artists is to take all the dark energies and transmute them. You guys are alchemists. That's the whole thing you thrive off of. It's not an easy road. The whole artist road is dark and an up and down roller coaster ride, but it's so much fun. Because you take that inspiration. It's like, remember, like when you see someone that, like, oh my God, I love that person. Like, who's that person? Like, oh my God, they make me feel something. I'm gonna write a song about it. Like, you get so inspired, right? That person that you meet, you transmute into music. You're having, like, you know, dog died. Jimmy, my dog died. I wrote a song called Die For You. I would die for you because he just ripped from me. Like, this, he just, you know, he was my Jimi Hendrix, his 10-year-old pit bull. I was on my way to a gig and he just went. You know, and it was like horrible. I, like, for years straight, I was crying every day, and I couldn't. And I was like, literally, I would die for you to come back home to me. And wrote it, and then we just played the Lost Lands, and that was the song that everyone was like, changed my life. I can't stop. You know, blah, 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 blah. And
because
I was like,
that's something that can relate to everyone. Has someone that they would die for.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, or like at least that they have felt that way at one time or another,
yeah,
that they would die for that person. You
yeah
know what I mean? And the song even goes to, like, if I could do it all again, I would hold you. How could I let you go?
Yeah.
Like, it's like lyrics of, like,
self-interpreting.
Like, how, yeah, you can self-interpret it. Like, if I, like, someone who lost their mother, it's like, if I could do it all again, what would I change?
Exactly.
You know? And so it can relate to everyone and give them goosebumps and,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But, to, yeah, yeah, and but
all
making...
All from personal experience.
All from personal experience, but taking those bad things and turning them into good things.
Yeah.
Most of your favorite songs are made from pain.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Even the happy ones, because you're trying to get out of that, you know? So just like whenever you guys, something's really, really crappy in your life, no matter what it is, don't retaliate with hate. Just go create, and it goes away. When you guys are in your creative headspace, you can tap into the fifth dimension. You can start manifesting your reality to whatever you want. When you start hanging out in negativity and in your own head and analyzing things, you just you get stuck in a loop.
You rise above that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get stuck in a loop, and you're just going to do this for a while until you go, oh, reality is a Google input output. What I think about it, bring about.
You can't control what other
yeah
people do.
No.
You can only control how you react to what your situation. You can't control the situation around you. You can only control yourself
yeah
and how you react. And perception is everything.
It really is. People project. This is like, we're talking, we're going to talk about music now, but like life stuff. Because like, we have to deal with, there's a lot of people project things onto you all the time. And normally they're just having a crappy day. You know, have you ever been driving in traffic and the guy's like, laying on the horn? Remember, we always drive up to them and we go, and they're like, you're ready to yell. And I go on the window, I'm so sorry, God bless. And they're like, it's like it stops them in their, you know, they're like, oh, they have to realize themselves, I'm a dick.
Yeah.
You know, like, I shouldn't have done that. You know,
yeah,
so it's
totally
like, you and that goes with music, and you're going to meet, like, you know, on your path. I already know you guys are both going to be superstars. And as you go on your path, pull all that inspiration, all the darkness, all the light, all the weird, the funny, pick the people that are around you that entertain you. You ever just listen to conversations? There's always lyrics in there. Even if you're bored and people are talking and gabbing when you're out with your girlfriends and the hens are gabbing, just listen. Just listen and wait for that money line to come up, because it will. Because
yeah
conversations all the time,
we're
like,
dead in conversations, we're like, write that down.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Because people
yeah
say the coolest things.
Yeah.
People like, but there's this. Remember, what was that guy? It was a Marco, my friend. He talks in Johnny Cash lyrics. Everything he says is like, that could be a country song. Like, that could be a Johnny Cash. So I love hanging out with him just because he just says. I just like. Yep. You go. Keep saying what? You know?
Keep talking.
Yeah, he has no idea. Like, use conversations that are boring and make them into fun. And and just take the creative parts and make them into art. Yeah.
So it's Sherry's birthday today, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Just said that too. What's next for you, and where can we find you, like social media wise?
Okay, so what's next for us is so many things that we can't really say yet. There are so many discussions happening with certain people that all I can say is where you'll get the information about that soon. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's going to involve a lot of touring. That's basically what I'm saying.
We just want to tour. We honestly, that's all. And you guys don't need a big studio. That's the other thing. You don't need a big fancy studio to make music. You can just make it off your laptop. Speakers. You don't need all the things. Don't get loud.
Get a decent pair of headphones.
Yeah. Skrillex makes beats in his car. That's where he does all his stuff. And, like, checks his mixes and stuff. And we do that too.
We're
going to, like, see how the sub resonates. You know, if you guys can get a sub pack or go in your friend's car, check how your mix sounds in the car, because it sounds a lot different on a sub than it does in these, right? Because that's where everyone listens to it. It's like, usually, how does it feel?
But all of our announcements you can find on Facebook, just Akilla under Facebook. But especially, we're very good with our Instagram. Our Instagram, Akilla, AKYLLA _ music.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best place to, like, keep up to date with what's going on.
Perfect.
All of our stuff. And our stories, we like to post lots of fun stories, so.
Yeah, if you guys post things, we'll probably repost them.
Yeah, if you post and tag us, we'll repost them. And if you private message us to follow you, we'll follow you back.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Give applause all at business.
Yay!
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. The next interview that you're going to listen to is with Mercedes Maduka, an artist out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. This is a bit of an old interview. She did a mural on the tallest poppy with her sister. And this is an interview we did just a little while back, right before her first exhibit at the Ralph Connor House in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Nigerian born, and that definitely influences her work. So here's some interview segments with Dana, Anna, and myself. 101.5 UMFM. Thanks for listening.
Hello, listeners. This is 101.5 UMFM. My name is Dana, and today I'm with a special guest at the studio. So could you please introduce yourself and also spell out your name?
Mercedes Maduka. Mercedes, like the car, Maduka, Maduka.
Awesome. Yeah. So getting right into it, you were one of the artists who did a mural for Wall 12. So I was just wondering, can you describe what your art is about in terms of, like, you know, style-wise, or what you like to paint in general?
So my work is very diverse. Normally, I'm a conceptual artist, and for the mural, it was more fun. It was more aesthetics. There was not too much of a story behind it. Like, it was just more fun and colorful and pretty different from my general body of work, which deals a lot with stories and narratives and just my experiences with society or people, and just me interpreting that through art.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you usually, I guess I would say, like, a lot of artists don't get a chance to work with, like, a huge space, like a mural, in, or just even having a huge, like, I guess, like, layout. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was different from comparing to, like, what you work with in terms of, like, the material that you use, because it's much bigger on a scale.
So for scale, it wasn't so much of, like, so, like, different, mm-hmm. but because I've done a mural before last year in December, I did one across Portage Mall for the Winnipeg, downtown Winnipeg Biz during Christmas. So I was kind of used to that. That was the first time I did a mural, and this was the second one. And normally when I'm doing my art on a canvas, I go as big as 6 feet, so Okay. That's something I'm kind of used to. So.
Okay. Yeah, because whenever I talk to some artists, like, either it's like maybe one of their first times doing it, or they've done it a couple times, but they're just not used to it because of the space overall. But it translates really well. And I mean, for Wall to Wall, are you doing any other murals this month, or that's just the one on the tallest poppy? So for people who want to know where Mercedes' mural is, it's on the tallest poppy on Sherbrooke. So.
So that's just the only one I have for Wall to Wall this year, on the tallest poppy. But yeah, we'll see.
How'd you get involved?
So my sister, someone contacted my sister from the team, and it was all about collaboration and working with people, and it was a good idea for me to join in, and they wanted us to collaborate together, and that's how I got in.
Okay.
In terms of collaborations, are you open to new collaborations in the future? Maybe, you know, with the studio or anyone you have in mind or have spoken to?
Yeah, totally. I'm really open to collaborations. I like working with people. In fact, this is like my first time working with my sister. She's an artist, and I've never actually like worked with her on a piece. And we both paint, like oil paint, and have similar style, kind of. But we've never like worked together, but it was kind of different, but it was fun.
Okay. Was that like a good challenge or just like a new adventure doing a collaboration with your sister, especially just because like you already have that connection family-wise?
Yeah.
So was it easier for you to kind of work with your sister compared to maybe like another artist that may not really match your style? Because you said that both you and your sister work with like oil painting and everything. So.
Well, I'm pretty open to like trying new things and working with people, so I wouldn't say it just because she was my sister was easier to work with her, but I'm very like open to working with new people and all of that, so yeah.
How would you describe your art?
Very conceptual, like I mentioned. So it's not only painting, it could be a photograph. Back at the U of M, I was a more of like I did photography, I did a bit of design, graphic design, and I actually started painting more after I finished school, which is, you know, different, but I would say conceptual in the sense that I would tell stories through my work, and maybe I should try describing a project of mine in the past, and maybe I'll kind of describe what I mean by conceptual. So I've had like photography where I wouldn't have any photos, and it's just like recordings of like blind people explaining their experiences before they got blind, and having people who have vision kind of experience that, and just going into a room and, you know, we all share one thing with blind people, which is mental imagery, and just reading a book, you see pictures in your head, or listening to music, it reminds you of like memories or something, and that's just what my photography was all about. So it was completely a complete dark room, and just recordings of like blind people talking about their experiences and what they last saw before they lost their vision. And it was really interesting because people who had vision were able to see all these different images in their head just from the audios of these people. And so that's some kind of art that I would say is conceptual.
So I know you've just said, you know, you consider your art conceptual and stuff, so, and I know you said that the project you had just worked on was more but freelance type, right? Like it didn't really have a story to it, it was just kind of like what you felt. And so are you open to doing more of those, you know, now that you've kind of...
I found that it was really relaxing, it was fun. I'm open to try more of that and just having fun with painting and not just always having a story behind it. It's really good to have a story, but at the same time, it's good to, you know, relax yourself and just have fun and express yourself.
What are your influences?
In terms of influences or where I get inspiration from, I'm definitely inspired by just everything, to be honest, like just me interacting with people, me having a conversation with anyone, or just listening to music, walking about on the street. Like, I'm just really inspired by my environment, by people I relate to or that I have conversations with. Or
we talked briefly, and you have connections to and roots in Western Africa and Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. So I was born and raised in Nigeria. I came here in 2012, and I just came to a university here to study fine art. My current work, which you saw, is mostly about culture and my culture in particular. And the interesting story behind it is not just because I'm Nigerian that I decided to create that body of work. I was actually flipping through a magazine, a fashion magazine, because I'm really big into like fashion and I always follow up with stuff like that. And I was flipping through a fashion magazine and I saw a Louis Vuitton runway show with the Ghana Moscow bag. And I'm like, I told my sister, I'm like, what? This is the bag that we have in like local markets at home. I'm like, what? This is Louis Vuitton runway. It's like one of the biggest fashion houses in Paris. And I thought it was really interesting. And then I saw, I think, months later, I saw like Stella McCartney, who's a designer in England, and she had these Ankara prints. And I thought it was like also interesting, like all these high-end fashion designers are taking influences from like Nigeria and Western Africa generally. And normally, I don't think if I didn't see that, I would create this body of work. And I just thought how powerful like my culture was. And this title of that body of work is called Powerful Drums. And that's a metaphor for like culture and how loud culture can spread to like Western society and pop culture generally, and how it influences and how like my culture in Nigeria is like loud, like the sound of a drum. And I feel like back home, those bags or like the Ghana Moscow bags is not something that we would consider like high fashion. But then after I saw it, I started noticing like how pretty the prints were and just like pay more attention to it. So that was what led me to create that.
Honestly, like that's pretty great, having that sort of direction, especially like touching on roots and seeing how Western society kind of takes that from different cultures, especially when you think of it as like just, oh, that's just whatever, but other people see it as very like elegant or luxurious. And so it's a different take on perspective, so that definitely is something that is very interesting.
So the work I just previously talked about is actually like for my upcoming show, September 22nd. So that would be about like my culture, mostly about the paintings that I created through in that series, the Powerful Nigerian Drums. So that would be what I'll be showing, paintings and sculpture of Nigerian stuff.
Where is it at?
It's at Ralph Connor House. Ralph Connor House down on Westgate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And that's taking place between when and when?
It's on September 22nd, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It is by tickets, and I am almost sold out.
Oh, that's awesome. I was going to ask, like, how much are tickets? But never mind. She's like, it's almost sold out. I was like, no.
But I do plan to, like, show more. This is just my first solo show, so.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you feel, like, going into that right now?
I feel it's just something I've always wanted to do. And, like, at first I was always, you know, postponing, like, I would do this later. And I feel like if you keep doing that, you'll never, like, go far. And I just decided, you know, I'm going to do this. So, yeah.
Well, did someone have to push you, or was it, like, more finally you just felt this was the moment? I'm done school. I have time. I'm creating a body of work. Let's just do this.
Yeah, it was more of just myself push. Like, I just got up and I'm going to do this. So, yeah.
I did have a question, though, about the power of, you talking about the power of the drum and Nigerian culture. But when you see those images and it comes and it bleeds over into Western culture, or I should say Euro-North American culture, are ideas of appropriation going into your mind as well? And if people are fully understanding it, or is more like finally this works or patterns that have always been a part of your culture are getting recognized for what they are, like actually beautiful and intricate and belonging in the conversation of.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, it's not really about appropriation.
Okay.
Because my culture is really important to me. It's a part of me. I'm Nigerian, fully Nigerian. But for me, like, I did read comments on blogs, Nigerian blogs, saying, you know, they talked about appropriation and how, like, the Ghana Mosco bags are used by, like, big fashion houses, etc. And I felt that, you know, back home, these bags, like, they are pretty, but we don't use, like, you're just seen in, like, marketplaces. I wouldn't have paid so much attention to them in that sense. And when I saw them, it just made me realize, like, you know, it's actually really pretty to look at. Not that I don't feel like my culture is pretty, but there are just some things that we don't really pay attention to. And it's just important that Nigerians and people from different cultures just pay close attention to your culture. It's actually really powerful. It's influential. It's really strong and powerful. And you don't have to wait for someone to, like, use it and then you realize. So that's basically what the body of work is about.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And it's also great that, you know, those people are, you know, appreciating our culture and making references.
So whenever people talk about, you know, appropriation, there's always that question, especially when you mix it in with, like, fashion and art.
Mm-hmm.
There's always somebody that's going to talk about appropriation. But I kind of like how that's not really what you want, kind of when it first enters in your mind, the way that you take it. And I mean, it'll pop up eventually, but I think you just gotta appreciate it. And I mean, that's what you said, because traditionally you wouldn't really see them being carried around. It's more something that you see in a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I can make, like, you know, references as well into my culture, that there are some things where people wear, and I say I'm just like, that kind of, I see it every day, but some people make it out to be very elegant.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess people have all these different perspectives for the art, especially, where some people think it's maybe, like, mundane, or it's, like, not very pretty, but someone looks at it differently and says, oh, that's super elegant, that's very mm-hmm. pretty, like, I like that, I want to buy it. So.
Yeah.
If people want to see what you do, I guess they can come down to your show, but do you have any kind of, like, a website or, like, social media that people can connect?
Well, I hope to, hopefully, coming soon, I hope to have a website and an Instagram for my art. Currently, I don't, actually. I'm not really a social person, but I plan to do that soon so I can get, like, more people to see my work and just share stuff with people. I think that's great.
Have you done any shows outside of this is your first show, period.
Yeah.
But do you plan to do some shows outside of the city? Where do you see this going, basically?
I see it going really far, okay. To be honest. Like, I do have that vision, but yeah.
Okay.
I plan to do so much more.
Awesome.
That's great.
Well,
this has been a really great interview. For anybody that has just tuned, we're finishing off this conversation. So this has been 101.5 UMFM. My name is Dana, and I was here with Mercedes and also Ness. And we'll see you guys next week for another interview.
So. Everybody, if you want to party all night long and have fun, this is the song to jam to. All right? Yeah. Okay, here it is. Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, everybody, you are spinning like tops. I am sick and tired hearing sirens and cops. This is the same damn way with the ambulance. If you wanna party, everybody only dance. Me and my grandma are money hungry, only poor. We are very tired going to the pawn store. We play the lottery, it's only our try. If we win, I shop a lot at Best Buy. We will win someday, not the word never. Yo, when I rap to you, this is very clever. forever. You know people, I write a lot at night. You know my lyrics is truly what I write. Everybody, everybody, you can be a millionaire. Everybody, everybody, you can be a millionaire. You can shop till you drop like a millionaire. You can shop till you drop like a millionaire. Hit the lottery to be a millionaire. Be cool, be rich like a millionaire. I got this pencil, I write a lot too late. I wrote my rhymes in every single way. Once in a while we have no food to eat. When we get cold, we barely have heat. We talk to a friend that we know on the street. With no love with us, that is incomplete. I got two sisters drinking, doing drugs. They always want money, there are stupid bugs. I believe in myself, I need no hope. We know the red ring is truly the Pope. I am very cool, truly cool from afar. I want to be a millionaire and a superstar. Everybody, everybody, you can be a millionaire. Everybody, everybody, you can be a millionaire. You can shop till you drop like a millionaire. You can shop till you drop like a millionaire. Hit the lottery to be a millionaire. Be cool, be rich like a millionaire.